Today's episode is brought to you by CBDMD. The holidays are finally behind us, which means it's time to catch up on some much-needed sleep. And even though getting a good night's sleep is much easier said than done, our good friends at CBDMD have exactly what you need to sleep harder than NBA scouts slept on Mason Jones. CBDPM blends 500 milligrams of high-quality CBD with melatonin, valerian root, chamomile, and other sleep-promoting ingredients to create a powerful and effective sleep aid. And if you want to relax a little before bed, their new CBD bath salts fuse superior CBD with Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bath into a luxury experience. And they're also available in lavender or eucalyptus scents, as well as soothing nighttime blend with melatonin and calming herbs. To make it even easier to get the year started off right, they're offering all of our listeners 20% off your very next order when you use promo code MBA at checkout. So once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code MBA for 20% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD.
Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
As far as
Christian Wood,
he's our guy.
We still got our goal is still to win a championship.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Being in a win-now situation, that's great. I'm a win-now coach.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as the blog at ClutchCityCR. Now, joining us today is a very special guest all the way from Brazil. None other than at Red Nation BR himself. Red, how are you doing today?
Hey, Jackson. Hey, Rockets fans. My pleasure. It's an honor. And I'm ready. Let's go.
I love it. I love it. We're going to get straight into this. We have a fun episode planned today. Now, Red, before we dive into anything, I want you to have a second. First off, I want you to have a second to address your following, your listeners, the Brazilian following that you have, who will be more than likely tuned into this show. So why don't you give them a quick shout out and then tell our listeners, you know, a little bit about yourself and how, you know, your background and how you came to be a fan of the Houston Rockets.
Yes. I can say Portuguese.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the goal for sure.
Okay. E aí, galera do Brasil, aqui é o Red Nation Brasil. É um prazer estar representando aqui a nossa torcida internacionalmente. Espero que vocês gostem do podcast, espero que todo mundo consiga entender, espero que a discussão seja boa para todo mundo. Um abraço e go Rockets. Do you want a translation?
No, you know what? We'll keep that one special. That's for your Brazilian followers, for your Portuguese speaking followers. That's your little welcome to them. We'll keep the rest of it rolling in English though for the usual listeners.
Okay, good.
You know, go ahead and I guess give us a little bit of that background of how did your Rockets fandom really start? And give us that connection for how, you know, all the way down in Brazil, how you became a fan of the Rockets and then, you know, decided to grow that Rockets following on Twitter.
Yes, actually, it's mainly James Harden, to be honest, because I started watching NBA around 2013, maybe. And he was one of the top players. He quickly became one of my favorite players. And I started there. And then I decided that I had to get a team. So I started searching and researching history of the teams, of the franchises and everything. And I liked the Rockets. I had the sympathy for the Rockets from the beginning because of Harden. And then I liked Hakeem's history, Olajuwon and everything, and the legacy of Biggs and all this stuff. And I really like Houston as a city, as a culture, the hip-hop culture, the connections there. I'm a fan of the hip-hop culture in Houston, so it's kind of connection there. And started from there. As far as the page in Twitter, I started because there wasn't many Twitter accounts about the Rockets in Brazil. We actually have a big fan base of the NBA in Brazil, but the Rockets wasn't one of the most popular. So I tried to do something different. I tried to be the guy that could deliver Rockets information and everything that I could, so we could meet new other Rockets fans and get new Rockets fans to the team in Brazil. So it's basically that's basically why.
I love it. It's a really solid reminder that the NBA is a really, you know, it's a worldwide sport. It really is. And, you know, there's so many different fans from all across the globe. And I'm reminded of that with this very podcast, you know, because I have the ability to see where people are listening to this podcast. And I always like to give my little shout outs because we've got a solid chunk of listeners from Brazil and from Australia, actually, who listen to this podcast on the regular. So I like to shout out those two areas a couple, you know, every so often. So that's actually cool regarding the James Harden connection. Now that kind of leads us into our very next point, actually. And before I get there, I do want to mention, though, that we do have a quick update for Wednesday night's game against the Suns. Regrettably, John Wall will still be out with the minor knee injury. Now we do have a bit of some evidence to back up what happened. Somebody went back. One of my Clutch City Control Room contributors went back and rewatched the footage from the second of the two Lakers games. And there was a point in the game where John Wall did bump knees with somebody and was, you know, kind of moving a little gingerly after that happened. So they're probably just playing it safe. It's probably not anything major long-term to be concerned about, but they just don't want to rush him back in the midst of, you know, everything that's been going on. So just minor update on John Wall there. Now, Red, this kind of, you know, the commentary from you about James Harden and that being the reason for getting into the Rockets fan base, it's a great springboard to get us into this next bit of the conversation. Where do you stand as far as rooting for or against James Harden? Because that's where a lot of Rockets fans are kind of, you know, there's two sides of the aisle right now, where you have some people who are very upset at the way that he left and are actively hoping that he struggles in Brooklyn. And then there's other people that are rooting for him. And then there's some kind of more so in the middle who are indifferent towards what happens. Where do you fall?
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence on that one, because it was a legendary run, no question about it, and he's a Rocket legend and that stays forever. But it's kind of the way he left wasn't the right way, so we kind of hurt. I can understand Rockets fans that are hurt right now and don't want to see him succeed, but at the end of the day, I think he deserves his ring. He deserves the respect that a title could bring to his career, to his resume. So I'm kind of on the fence, but I would be mad if he won.
I like that. That's where I kind of find myself leaning a little bit. I think there's ties where the people who I think, you know, are hoping for the Nets to struggle are hoping for an immediate I guess kind of an immediate payoff as far as the draft capital that the Rockets now have from the Brooklyn Nets. And from that element, I understand and it makes sense. But at the same time, you know, reasonably with Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, they're probably going to find a decent level of success, at least over these next 1 to 2 years before the player options come up for James and for Kevin Durant. So I kind of don't understand rooting against him for these first 2 years. Like, just I'm kind of in that camp with you where he deserves a title. He deserves an easy shot at a title after having the deck constantly stacked against him, going up against super teams for much of his career. He finally deserves a chance to, you know, to go out there, get his, and then from there, hopefully the Nets can, you know, explode after 2 years, and then the rest of the picks have a really nice payoff to help the future of the Rockets franchise. I think that's a probably happy middle ground, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that's our hope. I believe that was the plan that Stone had when he made the trade. I believe he actually, we don't have a lot of history of super teams lasting too long. So that 3 year span would be a good guess, I'll say, that this team runs. So I don't believe that this peaks after the contract of the Harden, of the Durant and Kyrie. I don't believe it will be a great team in Brooklyn no more. So those peaks make sense for the Rockets' future.
Definitely. Now we're gonna dive into Red and I, we've got a lot of ground here to cover. We're gonna talk a little bit about Stephen Silas, Christian Wood, the new look Rockets, all this stuff coming up in just a moment after we get a quick message in from our friends over at BetOnline.ag. NFL playoffs are here and there's great matchups all across the board. NBA season is in full swing with an excellent slate of games every single night in the NBA. And look, the MLB is right around the corner as well. And there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we here at Locked On Rockets trust, and that is betonline.ag. You can sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use our promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, for a 50% welcome bonus with your very first deposit. Look, there's great games across all three of the major sports leagues to throw some money on, so don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your very first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Be sure to tune back in later this week as we will have a recap up of the Phoenix Suns game, as well as we will be joined by none other than Dave Hardesty himself, Clutch Fans, the institution known as Clutch Fans, been around since the 90s. Don't want to miss that episode. Chatting right now with at Red Nation BR. So Red, let's talk Stephen Silas first. I know that it's been a pretty rough, we're not going to sugarcoat it, it's been a rough start. It's kind of sucked for Stephen Silas. But if you were to just give him a rating, I don't want to say a grade because I feel like letter grades are kind of ambiguous, a little vague. But if you were to rate Silas so far on a scale of 1 to 10, just in your eyes so far, where would he fall on that scale and why?
I'll give him a solid 7 so far because I really like the guy. I like his ideas. I like his system a lot. Offensively, is great. It's been great. But defensively, the defensive problems of this team has been a red flag so far. So it's a lot of work to improve. And it's good because we got a lot of great individual defenders in this team. We got Wall, who's a good defender. We got Oladipo, who's a good defender. We got Nwaba, Sterling Brown is a decent defender. Eric Gordon. We got a lot of good guys who can really guard. So it's more of adjustment so far.
I'm kind of right there with you. I think I'd probably go somewhere in the 6 through 8 range, probably in the higher end of that. I'd say maybe a 7.5 or an 8 if we're going on that scale of 10. I think one area that I've been a little disappointed with Silas is actually, obviously the defense has been an issue. Offensively, some of the pieces that he's had to plug, and again, I can't hold this against him too much because of just the issues that he's had not having a full lineup available pretty much all season, but some of the continued decisions like continuing to start David Nwaba, even though we have a decent sample size of evidence now that shows that when David Nwaba is a starter, the team gets off to these really rough starts in games. And his on-off rating when he's in there as a starter versus when he's playing as a bench player just does not look good. So I think, lineups specifically, there are some issues there, some questions. But at the same time, I don't want to call that a red flag just yet because I still think Silas is figuring things out as he's going and he's testing different things. And I think that's what a new coach should do. And given the early part of the season, that's his job, is to take those players, plug them into different lineups. And you're seeing him try new things. You're seeing him, you know, provide or you make decisions, I should say, to roll with different players, like choosing to leave Jayshon Tate in to close out the game against the Bulls rather than reverting back to David Nwaba, who was the starter in that game. So I think over time we're going to see Silas get better in those regards. But even defensively, it's been night and day what we've seen out of this team defensively in the post-James Harden era, which has been pretty refreshing to see, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I agree, because the effort is there after the Harden trade, and that's a main issue. I believe the communication isn't great yet, but I believe they get in there, and that's good. As far as lineups, I believe Silas has a lot of work to do with McLemore. I would like to see him feeding McLemore better, spreading his minutes. Hasn't been so great so far. I would like to see he try new things with Cousins, because Cousins is basically a stretch five at this offense, and he's shooting badly as it comes. So I would like to see some post-up plays for Boogie. See what Silas can do with Boogie outside of the 3-point range.
No, excellent point there, Red. I was having this discussion with a few people earlier today in a group chat, just talking about the fact that Boogie, you know, has plenty of experience as a post-up player, and yet he's operating exclusively as that five-out option. And I think especially with, you know, Boogie having the playmaking ability that he has, it would be great to see him operating out of the post and trying to essentially run the offense through him for stretches of the game, but run it through him down low rather than, you know, outside on the arc, where then he's forced to, you know, trying to create for others. I mean, he is doing a little bit of like some of the dribble handoff stuff on the perimeter, which is nice to see. But he really could use his size to his advantage and maybe get some easier looks for himself, or, you know, get some better passing opportunities for his teammates. I think in some of the earlier games this season, once we did finally see Boogie in the lineup, and even in a couple of those preseason games, we did see Boogie operate out of the post a little bit, and he had some fancy passes. You know, there were some cuts by Nwaba, Tate, those kind of guys, little backdoor cuts to the rim, and Boogie is excellent at finding those guys for easy buckets around the hoop. And so that's been an element that has definitely been missing from his game. He's been very up and down this year, unfortunately, but Let's talk Christian Wood for a moment, because I feel like we might continue down this rabbit hole of defense, especially discussing Christian Wood. Now, he's definitely lived up to a lot of the hype so far this season, but what do you see personally as his biggest strength right now and then his biggest weakness?
His biggest strength, I would say, it's his hands. He has elite hands for a big guy. It's an underrated skill, in my opinion, because he can grab the pass from basically anywhere. Harden had some really hard lobs for him, and he grabbed it, and he can control. He's controller. He's super good with his hands, and that's helped him a lot in the offensive end. His biggest weakness, maybe it's his defense still, but I believe he's making progress. Silas is working closely with him. We can see from the sideline, Silas hating his arm and trying to communicate with him. And he's been making progress. He's had a wingspan of 7'3", I believe. And that's a lot. So he can alter a lot of shots on the defensive end. So that's an area that I would say he has room to improve. And I believe he will eventually make the jump.
You know, it's interesting. I was digging for it just before we sat down to record, and regrettably, I couldn't find it because I'm on Twitter way too much, and sometimes I bury even my own stuff. But there was something that somebody shared with me that I thought I retweeted, and it was a list of bigs in the NBA who are contesting shots at the rim and impacting opposing field goal percentages near the rim, or something, some kind of advanced stat or advanced tracking data to that effect. And Christian Wood is actually somewhere in the top 10 as far as, you know, rim deterrents or bigs who are altering shots at the rim, he's actually even higher up on the list than Joel Embiid as far as changing shot percentages near the rim from opposing players. And I think that was a great statistic to show that he is growing and learning every game, every day as a rim deterrent, because he doesn't need to be I don't think he needs to be like a traditional, like true defensive anchor to be that presence, but he just needs to get better and good enough defensively to, you know, contest shots at the rim to make life a little bit harder. You know, he doesn't ever need to be a Rudy Gobert type player defensively, especially because of what he provides you on offense. But I also think that, you know, he's so early on in his career. This is his first real role with consistent minutes where he is a focal point of the team. He's also having to balance the usage rate and his role offensively with now, you know, with being a mainstay in the offense. And so, you know, he's learning a lot. He's getting a lot thrown at him very quickly, and I really think that he's done a phenomenal job, at least through this point so far, through 12 games. And even though the record doesn't necessarily reflect it, again, just a 4-8 start for the Rockets, there's been a lot of things that they're having to deal with as far as adversity through this start. But I've been largely impressed with Christian Wood. I think collectively people are probably expecting a little bit too much out of him right now defensively. But he has made those steps forward. Now, there's an important question here, and this is another one that I want to pick your brain and see where your thoughts are on this. There's some discussion between, you know, on Rockets Twitter and just in the general, you know, Rockets landscape of people who think that Christian Wood shouldn't be playing the five and that the Rockets should probably go out and try and find a quote unquote legitimate center to put next to him. And I actually disagree with that. I think he can play the five, but I want to get your opinion on that.
I'm with you on this one, because I believe he's a five. I like him better as a five, because I like how he can stretch the floor, he can shoot up the dribble, he can take bigs off the dribble because he's much quicker than most of the bigs. He's like the Anthony Davis comparison with him is great, because it's the same skill set basically. Of course, we have different levels of talent, so far, at least, but he has the skill set of playing like a guard, but as a big, so he can definitely help more as a five, I believe, and I like him more as a five.
Yeah, he presents a lot of mismatches. There's still, you know, the hope that he'll add a little bit more bulk, not to the point of slowing down to lose that speed advantage against, you know, opposing bigger fives, but at least bulk up enough to where, you know, he doesn't get thrown around like a rag doll in the paint. And I think a very similar comparison is, you know, obviously Anthony Davis because of the offensive tool set, but also a Rocket that we watched grow before our very eyes in Clint Capella. Clint Capella used to be a string bean. He used to be so skinny when he was a starting center back in that 2016-2017 season, and then he bulked up a little bit. He got bigger for the next season, and then he got too big the season after that, where he was probably weighing about 250 or 255 going into the 2018-2019 season, and he was a little bit too big, and he lost some of his bounce. He wasn't as quick for those second jumps like he used to be, and so he had to slim back down. So there's a sweet spot in there where Christian Wood can be, you know, big and strong enough to deal with some of the other bigger bodies, but still athletic enough to be able to glide through the air and do some of the acrobatic plays and finishes that he's been doing so far, and without losing that speed advantage. Now I want to get into, we've got, you know, so many other topics that we still need to hit on. We want to talk about Victor Oladipo, Jayshon Tate, talking about competing versus bottoming out, all sorts of these topics coming up in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. Let's talk protein bars for a second. Are you sticking to your New Year's resolutions? If you're not, Built Bar might be able to help you out. Look, they've got 18 amazing flavors. You can't go wrong with any one of them down the entire list. Double chocolate, my personal favorite, salted caramel, toffee almond, apple almond crisp, carrot cake. I mean, these don't even sound like protein bar flavors. They sound like delectable desserts from a gourmet bakery, but, you know, and that's kind of what they are, is they're not actually protein bars. They're basically candy bars that are jam-packed with protein. Every single bar has anywhere from 17 to 20 grams of protein in every single one. They're soft, they're easy to chew, they're not gritty or chocolate chalky like some of the other protein bars on the market. They're covered in 100% delicious chocolate. And look, they're great for the health conscious person. If you're trying to lose weight, trying to stick to those New Year's resolutions, they're low cal, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Amazing for a keto diet. And you can check them out. Just visit builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your very next order. So again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, chatting with Red at RedNationBR on Twitter. Now, Red, let's talk a little bit about Victor Oladipo, who had a really, really impressive debut in his first game with the Rockets. Of course, unfortunately, the Rockets coming up a little bit short against the Bulls, but Victor Oladipo posting 32 points, the second most points scored all time in a Rockets debut behind that one guy that we already talked a little bit about in the first segment, and we're not going to talk about him anymore. But I think in that game, we saw some glimpses of what Victor Oladipo is going to be able to do for this Rockets team. We saw him as a really strong point of attack defender. We saw him as a good weak side defender, kind of breaking up some plays here and there. We saw his ability to handle the ball. We saw a little bit of miscommunication early on with Christian Wood, but then as the game progressed, we saw Victor Oladipo hitting some of those little pocket passes to Christian Wood, and we kind of saw them developing that chemistry as the game progressed. What stood out to you the most in his debut? What did you like seeing the most out of him?
I really liked his shot creation. He got a really good ability to create shots off the dribble using a pick and roll. He got off some really difficult shots and it all looked good. So this is an element that we miss with the trade. And we need someone that can make difficult shots, that can create a shot in a hard situation, in a difficult situation. And I believe he's the guy. He learned quickly too. After the first quarter, he just clicked with Wood, and the pocket pass was really good. I believe we need a lob in there. He didn't make a lot of lobs passes in his career. But he looked good with Wood, and that's the main point, I believe.
Shout out to another overseas institution, the TN Rockets blog, Nathan Fogg over there doing some amazing work covering the Rockets, and he pointed out, and then Matt Bullard reiterated it on the broadcast, that Victor Oladipo has only thrown 5 lob passes in his career up to this point, and so he's never really had a certified lob threat like Christian Wood. And something we spoke about just, you know, one segment ago was Christian Wood and you highlighting his hands. And so for Victor Oladipo to finally have a legitimate lob threat where all he has to do is put the ball up in the just general like heliosphere of the rim and Christian Wood is going to go up there and get it and then be able to throw it down or at least tap it in or at least get the ball, fall down with it and then, you know, go back up with that quick second jump. That's going to be a very big difference maker for Victor Oladipo. But I also think that once John Wall is back, fingers crossed, you know, that he gets back soon. Once John Wall's in the rotation, I'm really interested to see how Victor Oladipo operates as an off-ball threat, because I think John Wall, now that Harden has moved on and that John Wall gets to really be the floor general for this team, it's going to be really interesting to see how he flourishes really running this offense without having to kind of play your turn, my turn with James Harden.
Yeah, and Victor is a good shooter. He's not an elite shooter. He's not a great shooter, maybe, but he's a good shooter. And I believe he can make some damage off the ball. I believe he's athletic enough to make some backdoor cuts, some dribble handoff action. And I believe he will thrive in this offense. And I believe especially the pair with Wall, the great point about it, it's they two very good defenders. And it's been a long time since Rockets had two really good backcourt defenders. And maybe Harden and Paul was something like that, but Harden was never that great a defender. He's never that good a defender. I like to see how they click, how they match in the defensive end.
Absolutely. And then even past those two, as your starting backcourt, you have then coming off the bench, Eric Gordon and Sterling Brown, who are two more phenomenal defenders to essentially kind of slot in at the guard spot. Now, some would say that Sterling Brown is maybe a wing in this Rockets system, sure. But, you know, essentially you've just got, you know, something we also talked about earlier is there's a lot of really good individual defenders on this team. And it's about Silas finding that really nice balance between offense and defense and the right lineups that can find success with each other on the floor. And once he has everybody available on hand, he'll be able to really hopefully hone in on those lineups that are the ones that are, you know, generating a lot of success and know which ones are the ones that he should be focusing on the most. And speaking of lineups, we got to talk a little bit about Jayshon Tate, who has been an absolute stud so far this season. And I think the question burning in everybody's mind is should Jayshon Tate be in the starting lineup moving forward? What are your thoughts on that, Red? Yes or no?
I would say yes right now because we don't have Daniel House. Maybe if House is back to his level of play that we accustomed to see, maybe we are used to see, maybe he can get the starting job. But I like Tate. I like Tate off the bench. I like Tate starting. He's a player that embraces his role. Either one, he gets. So he's a really good player. He plays like a veteran, and that's a really brilliant point of him. I like the Draymond comparison. The Anthony Mason that Silas made is a good one too, and I think he's a great find by Rafael Stone. It's a nice welcome card by Rafael Stone and what he can spot as far as talent goes. Maybe we can get in the draft with him, and it's a good sign that we got Tate undrafted, Tate from overseas. It's a good player that we got basically for nothing, for free.
And speaking of undrafted, I mean, there's also Mason Jones. So, I mean, this organization is doing a good job finding these guys that other teams have seemingly overlooked or deemed not worthy of using a pick on. And credit to Rafael Stone, like you said, you know, it's a good sign moving forward that if they can find this level of talent without even using a draft pick, what are they going to be able to do using some of these ideally high draft picks in the coming, you know, years if they decide to actually utilize them? Or, you know, there's the other option of potentially flipping some of those draft picks, utilizing them as currency to maybe flip some of them for a budding star somewhere down the line, similar to what Daryl Morey did all the way back in 2012. It'll remain to be seen what Rafael Stone decides to do with all those picks. And that kind of brings us to this bit of discussion is, Red, would you rather see the team continue to remain competitive, or do you want to see them just completely like fire sale, get rid of everybody, and just bottom out for a couple of years and try to tank to get the highest draft picks possible?
I'm kind of on the fence on this one, but if we go full rebuild, if we choose this road, I believe it's not for now. It's from next 2 years. And I believe it got to be a two-year plan because we have our own pick in 2022. We got our own pick in 22 and 23, so we can tank effectively. We can get our peak and get our guy. But another question that comes with that, it's Harden leaves, but he might left a door open for a return. So we might have to consider that when we think about a rebuilding. Because he's got 3 years left, and it may be a LeBron kind of thing.
Oh, man, I know that I've brought up the fantasy idea on Twitter, and I forget, because I sometimes forget what I do and don't talk about in these podcasts when I do so many of them, five a week. You know, they all start blurring together, and I can't remember what I've said on social media or what I've said in the podcast. And, you know, I'm glad you bring it up, because there is that dream, that fantasy scenario where James Harden leaving the door open to say that, you know, he repays all of his debts, and that, you know, maybe, you know, look, there's a lot of evidence that says that Kevin Durant was planning to come to Houston in the summer of 2016. That he and Harden were discussing it, that they were planning on it, but then the Rockets had that really, really terrible 2015-2016 season, the 41-41 season, where they barely made it into the playoffs after all the success from the season before going to the Western Conference Finals. And essentially, with the cap spike that summer, rather than signing Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson, they were going to sign Kevin Durant and pair up the trio of James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Dwight Howard here in Houston. That was the plan. Now, unfortunately, it didn't work out that way because of the dysfunction of the team. But, you know, and we all know how it worked out with Kevin Durant going to Golden State. And Daryl Morey eventually got his guy a little bit later on with Chris Paul, although Chris Paul was also rumored to want to sign with the Rockets all the way back in 2013 and then just use that as leverage for the Clippers. A lot of different what-ifs go into the scenario, but in this fantasy scenario, Harden and KD would reasonably win at least one ring, maybe two, you know, as Brooklyn Nets, and then James Harden and Kevin Durant would opt out of their contracts and come sign their final deals here in Houston. And yes, they would be a little bit older by then, but that's still a really dynamic duo, and depending on how the Rockets roster looks at that point, Christian Wood would be in the final year of his deal, Jae'Sean Tate as well. They would have, you know, hopefully developed to a point to be, you know, some really good pieces to have around that duo of Kevin Durant and James Harden. But at the same time, as nice as it sounds, Red, I can't pin any hopes on that. It would be too heartbreaking to sit here for 2 years and like hope that James Harden comes back and then he opts out of his contract only to sign like a 4 or 5 year deal with the Nets and retire in Brooklyn. That would sting a whole lot.
Yeah, that will hurt a lot. And I believe Rockets shouldn't wait for him. We should move on and go along with the plan. And maybe if we are good enough, maybe he pick us and the free agents, and we can get him back. But I don't believe that should be a question for our front office. I believe the stay competitive road is the better road so far. And maybe I will go with that. But the draft picks, we wait a couple of years to get a high draft pick from Brooklyn in this scenario.
Yeah, and I think one other element to think about with the stay competitive route is Christian Wood was adamant when he left Detroit, basically saying, going so far as to say, you know, he wants to play for a team that wants to win. He doesn't want to lose. He doesn't have any plans to be losing. John Wall is very much the same way. They've got that dog mentality in them. And I do think that if the Rockets are tanking just for the sake of tanking for high draft picks, then I think there's going to be some, you know, I think you could see Christian Wood become a little bit disgruntled, and the Rockets don't want to upset Christian Wood to where at the end of his 3-year deal, if he progresses the way that we think he can, then they don't want him leaving to go to one of the LA teams or, you know, to New York or a big market just because the Rockets are in the middle of a rebuild. You can stay competitive and try to be kind of that, again, they're, you know, not quite a middling team, but at least on, you know, the lower echelon of the playoffs, and keep Christian Wood interested. That way, at the end of his 3-year deal, he wants to remain in Houston, hopefully sign a new max level deal to stay with the Rockets and be, you know, I think it's too early to say Christian Wood has the chance to be, you know, the best player on a championship team, but I think he's shown enough talent wise that he could be at least, like at minimum, a really good number two on a championship caliber team. And so if he progresses the way that he needs to, maybe there's a situation where, you know, he progresses and then the Rockets are able to take all those assets and flip them into the player that can be the number one on a team. And so they go from being, you know, middle of the pack competitive to back at the top of the Western Conference without ever having to truly bottom out all the way to the 15th spot in the West.
Yeah, and this draft capital, all those picks that we got on the Harden deal, it gets some leverage, so we can strive for this grantless stars. I believe we became a major player for them, especially if we develop a few of our young guys. Maybe Jason Tate become an elite role player. Maybe Christian Wood becomes the number two on a championship team, and maybe he's a good trade piece. But I believe these assets gave us the flexibility, and Rafael Stone used this word flexibility for as a major reason that he made the deal. So I believe we got this flexibility to go and get another star, maybe to pair with Wood, or maybe be the number one option in the team. And I believe that our future got a lot of ways to get there and come back to contention. So maybe that's why Rafael Stone made this deal.
Yeah, the flexibility element is very key, and it's a word that he's been throwing around a lot, and I think that's very important, a very important note. That's why he didn't commit to Ben Simmons. That's why he didn't commit to an established player quite just yet, because the liquidity, the flexibility that those draft picks provide leaves a lot of open avenues for how this team can progress moving forward. Now, Red, I've got one more thing that we've got to do here. Now, I told you early on before we hit the record button that I had a surprise segment for you here at the end. Are you ready for it?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, so we've got a version. We're going to do a Brazilian Guess Who, because there have been 16 Brazilian-born players in the NBA, and I want to know if you can name 8 of them. Can you do it?
Maybe. I can try.
Okay, all right. Let's see how well you know this. All right, so I'm ready whenever you are, if you want to start naming players off.
Okay, I'll start with Nene for obvious reason.
Yeah.
Anderson Varejão.
Perfect.
I would say Fab Melo.
There's another one.
We got it's Rafael. We used to call him Rafael Baby here in Brazil. I don't remember his last name.
I'll give you credit for that one. It's Rafael Araujo. I don't want to butcher it.
Yes.
Okay, so that's
he plays for the Raptors, I believe.
That's number drafted. 4.
We got Bruno Caboclo.
I was about to say there's one more Rocket in there, and I was hoping you were going to get him. All right, so that's number 5. We got 3 more to go.
We got Lucas Bebe.
Say that one. Raptors. One more time.
We call him Lucas Bebe. Maybe Lucas Nogueira.
There we go. I was about to say I see a Lucas, so I want to make sure you were getting proper credit.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
So
we used to call him Bebe. It's Baby in Portuguese.
I love it. Okay. All right. So we're up to
his nickname.
All right. We're up to 6 now. So you've got 2 more to go to make it. Now remember, there's 16 total. So you're just going to 8 to try and win my little competition here.
Okay. We got Leandro Barbosa.
There we go.
Let me see. Ooh, only one more.
There's two more active players that you actually haven't named yet.
Oh, I got a good one. He played for the Rockets, actually. Scott Machado.
Wow, there we go. Okay, that is a good one. Now, I will say that he's actually, so there was 16 Brazilian-born players. Scott was actually born in the United States to Brazilian parents, although he represents Brazil internationally. So he is on the list, but he's as like a special like 17th person. But I will give you credit for that one. So that actually gives you the 8. But are you interested to hear the couple names of the active players that you didn't get to?
We got Raul Neto.
There we go. That's and wait, can you name the
other?
What was the other one you got?
Chris Felicio for the Bulls.
There we go. Those are the active players right now. And then another one that I guess we left off that, you know, he I guess you could maybe say he's the most successful one on the list, would maybe be Thiago Splitter, his time with the Spurs. Yeah.
I believe he's in Brooklyn, actually. He's with the Nets. I believe he's in the coaching staff and the training staff.
That's right. I completely forgot about that. So he is still in the NBA in some capacity, which is very cool. But yeah, all right. So great job, Red. I came up with that little fun segment. I wanted to see how your knowledge of the Brazilian players was, and you passed with flying colors. So congratulations.
Thanks.
All right, Red. Well, hey, I really appreciate you taking the time to be here today. Why don't you give a parting message to our listeners? Let them know where they can check you out at if they'd like to check out the content that you're putting out.
Okay. Thanks for the invite. We are Twitter at RedNationBR as Brazil, acronym for Brazil. And we got a huge fan base. The Rockets in Brazil, actually. If you are listening and you are not familiar with, come follow us, come check us out, and maybe you can get some perspective from Brazilian fans, from a Brazilian fan, and all our fan base in Brazil. And let's have fun together, let's watch Rockets together, and go Rockets.
All right, and it wouldn't be fair to get you out of here without letting you give one more message to your Brazilian listeners. So why don't you go ahead and do that as well?
Okay, I'll say in Portuguese. Galera, quem escutou aí, muito obrigado por ter ouvido até agora, por ter escutado até agora. Foi muito legal participar aqui. Fico muito feliz em representar a nossa torcida do Brasil, do Rockets do Brasil, aqui com o Jackson, aqui no Locked On Rockets. E foi um prazer. Obrigado por terem ouvido. Espero que vocês gostem. Valeu.
Obrigado por se juntar hoje, Red. Did I do that okay?
Nice.
There we go. All right. Hopefully you enjoyed our episode with Red at RedNationBR on Twitter. But for today's episode of Locked On Rockets, that's going to do it. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.